Hello, everyone. Hope you're all well. Welcome back to another episode of Unplayable. So the big news in the world of golf is that Tiger has split with Nike. Or rather, it seems a 10-year deal that was signed in 2013 has not been renewed. We hinted at this last week as there were rumors that it could happen swirling over the last few weeks. And when I first saw it, I was kind of debating to myself if this is significant news or not, and if we should really put much time into it, and I concluded that yes, although it's not specific on course related, it's absolutely a very significant thing to happen in golf. It's one of those stories that will spill over to mainstream non-golf fans too. We'll also discuss Chris Kirk's win in Hawaii last week, as well as a couple of events coming up this week on the two main tours, which is another event in Hawaii for the PGA Tour with the Sony Open, and then the real start to the European Tour season with Rory, amongst others, teeing it up in Dubai. But first, some context on this split between Tiger and Nike. So this partnership has been iconic in the world of golf for the last 27 years, from when Nike first took a big punt on Tiger in 1996, handing him a 5-year contract worth $40 million before he hit a shot professionally, which now we look back on having seen what Tiger has achieved, and it's easy to think that it was a no-brainer for Nike. Of course, he would give Tiger this kind of contract. But it was a massive risk for them at the time to put all their eggs in the Tiger basket because they didn't know just how good he was going to be. Nike were not a massive name in the world of golf at this time. And it really was Tiger who put Nike on the map. Of course, this played out unbelievably well over the years. There's so many moments etched in our memory of Tiger wearing the Sunday red as he won all 15 of his majors. The most famous, of course, being that chip on the 16th at Augusta in 2005, where the Nike logo lingered in front of our eyes before the ball dropped in. It's one of the biggest sports partnerships and sponsorships in history, up there with Michael Jordan, Serena Williams, Ronaldo, and then Messi with Adidas, David Beckham with Adidas. So I think, yeah, it's absolutely worth us spending some time to talk about it. This week, it's just Cooper and I holding down the fort. So, Cooper, this comes on the back of Jason Day splitting with Nike at the end of his contract. Nike did also pull out of the golf equipment game in 2016 too. So I wonder, is this potentially part of a wider, more strategic decision to pull out of the golf industry? But I don't want to jump the gun. So come on, give me your thoughts then on Tiger and Nike and all going their separate ways.
Well, it does look like it in terms of a gradual kind of recline from anything to do with golf. When you think back to the clubs, like Nike had some amazing clubs, like those Victory Red irons are probably still my favorite irons ever made. Of course, the Tiger influence there as well. But like even some of the clubs, the Vapors, and then the easily identifiable as probably the worst golf club ever made, and the Square Sasquatch. But they were an absolute powerhouse in the kind of golf equipment manufacturing space as well, and it was probably a big deal for them to kind of pull out of that. So they're not opposed to making really big decisions if that's where they think the company is going. So it is a surprise. Like, how many guys do you see rocking the not just the Nike logo, but even the TW logo? Like, I think Scottie Scheffler and Scottie Scheffler is definitely still using the Tiger Woods Nike shoes. Fleetwood was using them last year, but it looks like he's changed over to some of the new Nike stuff. But it just, golf is just really difficult to make money out of by the looks of it. In terms of the equipment side, you think the apparel side might be a bit easier because you wouldn't kind of take two looks if someone was wearing a Nike golf shirt on a tennis court. But on the equipment side, they kind of must just said, right, this just doesn't work with our business plan moving forward, and they pull the plug. And then when you look at all the, as you said, the kind of, I guess, contracts ending on the apparel side and now guys jumping over to new brands, it does look like we mightn't have Nike golf shirts in Sports Direct anymore for €15, which is a bit of a shame because like they're always good gear and you could always trust anything with the swoosh on it. But yeah, like Jason Day, he's gone over to Malbon. And yeah, first reaction to that is I absolutely despise them. I don't know about you, but like
really,
it's such a feeling. Well, not feeling. It's such a dividing opinions because
it is.
When you look at the old gear, like the baggy trousers on Tiger and the baggy shirts and everything, that's like old school golf, and it looks like Malbon are trying to capture a bit of that. And then you look at Jason Day last week and he's wearing chinos that look like Calvin Greens, and like there was one picture where they just look like proper chinos you're wearing a night out, and that can't be comfortable. Long leg pants in Hawaii, so it's definitely a unique style. I definitely see you rocking them. All right.
Yeah, I love them. I've actually shown my missus the shoes with the big tongue on them, the ones that are like they look like from the 70s. And the sweater vest thing and stuff. I think they're cool, but I wonder, but obviously, yeah, they're going to divide opinions and loads of people will hate them. And fair enough, it's completely fashion is subjective, as they say. the Nike thing is an interesting one. Like back, so it was 2016 when Nike pulled out of the club game. And I actually used Nike irons for years. I only just got rid of them. I had them for like 14 years and I loved them as well. But I wondered, I always
did kind of wonder. Savage of irons, to be fair. They were gorgeous. They were
the Victory Red Forge irons. I loved them. I thought they were class. But I always did wonder, like, because Nike obviously spent so much money to get these big stars, like obviously with Tiger and Rory and stuff. But I always wondered, was there the spillover to the average man or woman at a golf club where you may not have actually seen that much Nike gear across the board? I wonder how well it was trusted. But I actually read up a little bit about this in the last, well, since the news broke, on like Nike's kind of return on investment, because I suppose it is a dollars and cents thing at the end of the day. So Tiger's first contract was 5-year contract worth $40 million. Then he signed another contract worth $200 million. Or sorry, worth $100 million, I think, in 2001, which is at the time, I believe, the biggest ever in sport. And then his recent one from 2013 was a 10-year contract worth $200 million, so $20 million a year. Overall, apparently, it's been Nike paid Tiger in the region of $500 million US. But a professor of marketing and strategy in Pittsburgh did a study in 2013. And apparently at that time, anyway, it had been a win-win for everybody. So up until 2013. So this research that they did in 2013 looked at the impact of Woods on the sales of Nike golf balls, which he started using in 2000. And the research found that between 2000 and 2010, the company had recovered 57% of its investment in Woods in golf ball sales in the US alone. So when Woods turned professional, Nike didn't have a strong position in the golf industry, and then kind of seemed to strike gold, obviously, when it launched its gear around Tiger. But obviously Tiger has been like injured, and off the off course stuff would have had probably a big impact on Nike's investment. Like, and last year, remember, Tiger started wearing these FootJoy shoes after he came back, which must have been a big blow for Nike. like Nike stuck with him in 2009 after all the scandals and other brands dropped him. But yeah, you'd have to think it was probably just a dollars and cents thing, and Nike feeling maybe they're just not going to get the return on investment with Tigers being patchy on the course.
Well, I think in terms of like timing, like it has to be a corporate decision from the very top that we're getting out of golf, because of all the brands, like I know a few stuck through them, but like Nike were the unwavering kind of supporters of Tiger Woods during the shit, and not during the injury shit, like right through the kind of 2010s. If there was any brand that kind of you were kind of like, oh, maybe they'll split with Tiger now over this, Nike was top of the list, and they never did. So it must just be a complete golf decision. But it is, like, even back in the early days, like it's actually a cool comparison to Michael Jordan in the, I don't know if you've seen the movie Air.
Yeah, I watched it recently, actually.
And like that kind of it was a similar vein to what happened with Tiger when he turned pro, because as you said, Nike weren't a big name in golf, and at the same time, Nike weren't, I think they only had something like 10% market share in the basketball shoe game before they signed Jordan. Who was it? I think it was Converse, I think, were the big dogs back then. And like for them to make a play like that on Jordan was a bit risky, but like at the same time paid off. And again, as you said, the Tiger one absolutely paid its way back in full. But it is kind of interesting to think about that, and also interesting to kind of think about why Tiger Woods as a brand isn't as successful as Jordan's. Or I don't think not as successful, but like obviously Jordan's are their own animal, but Tiger never got a kind of deal like that with Nike. Maybe it was a negotiating thing.
I think that's actually the biggest thing. Like I just did a quick Google there on your point, and I think it's such a good comparison to looking at Michael Jordan. So Michael Jordan's now worth $3 billion, and most of that, I'd say 99% of it, is because of that deal that he did with Nike, where he was obviously going to get this royalty on Jordan shoes. Like the Tiger thing, like Tiger's name, Tiger, surely there was a brand that could have stemmed from that in a similar way to
Jordan. Easiest fucking brand and exercise in the world to sit down and just put a Tiger brand. Well, I actually like the TW, to be honest, but that's probably just me being biased. But like it was the most simple kind of branding or design exercise, like in terms of the lengths they went to in the movie anyway, on the Air Jordan side and kind of what they landed at there as far as the logo goes. And it was fairly complicated, whereas Tiger, it just takes a few kind of guys in San Francisco to sit down and build potentially one of the biggest brands in the world. But yeah, it never had that same pull. And like as far as obviously Jordan in his own right, like as far as kind of legends in sport as a whole go, right up there. But you wouldn't put Tiger Woods that far behind them. If you asked anyone in any sport or any kids who had nothing to do with golf anywhere in the world, they would probably recognize Tiger if they had any interest in sport at all. And yeah, they missed the boat on it, because obviously I think one of the best things about the split has been the constant rerunning of old Nike ads. Like they did some great ones, and as far as marketing his brand went, they absolutely did a great job. And things like the chip at the 16, the Masters, like basically he made ads for them himself. But I don't know what the best way to kind of compare it is, but I think Jordan is a good one in that what could have been if it was tackled from a different angle. And now it's 27 years on, it's one of the splits I never thought I'd see happen. You think you'd see Tiger dying in a red Nike top. But there is maybe an opportunity now, because obviously with whoever he goes to, like, I'd be very, very surprised if there isn't nearly a joint venture at this stage. But if not a joint venture, definitely royalty on the gear. And it looks like TaylorMade and Adidas are dialing up for it. Apparently they had a lot of new job openings in a new apparel division at TaylorMade Adidas. So he obviously has the link there. He's using primarily TaylorMade clubs. Obviously did nothing with them in the last however long they've existed because of Nike, but in terms of a brand, like with TaylorMade, then you have pretty much all the big guys, the Rorys, the Tigers, using the clubs already. So an apparel kind of arm on top of that makes total sense. And if they can build that around Tiger, you know, the likes of McIlroy wouldn't have any issue wearing a Tiger Woods inspired. Well, maybe McIlroy might, but like any of the other pros, like Scottie Scheffler is still wearing his fucking shoes. But they wouldn't have any issue on wearing a Tiger Woods, similar to Air Jordan, like the way it sponsors the PSG football kit. Like, I don't think any player would be opposed to using that if the gear was nice and they were contracted and getting paid to do it. So, yeah, it'd be very interesting. But yeah, I think you're right on the Tiger brand. Like, I'm pretty sure Tiger Woods himself owns the TW brand. So that TW logo, that's not owned by Nike. So that might just directly transfer over to a new provider, whether it is Adidas or whoever pays up the big bucks to get them. But it doesn't have to be monumental change, I don't think. Like, if you think of Nike golf shirts, like, there's a tick on the back of the collar and on the chest. Like, it's fairly fucking straightforward. So unless they want to go completely Malbon on it and bring out some vintage gear and put Tiger back in the US amateur, I'd say it's going to be an absolutely massive win for whoever gets them. And
it'll probably have to be a big
company. You can see a lot of the golfers following him wherever he goes.
Yeah, I think it would have to be a big company that as well, because just the sheer volume of getting Tiger on board in the valley.
And be annoying. I don't think he'd trust starting something himself either. I think he wants that kind of burden. It's like, right, let me get into a company here who's well established, who has factories all over the world and has fucking fairly solid supply chains to actually kick this off, instead of starting with a relatively small brand. Like, Tiger would never sign with someone like Malbon. But it's gonna have to be a big player in the market, or at least someone who has the money to become a big player very quickly in the new division.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Like, I don't Tiger hasn't been crazy entrepreneurial himself over his years. I know he's got his golf course design business, but like, I don't think he never set up his own management agency.
Is it TGV? It's just a venture arm that invests in things like Jamal Golf. So there is something there, but yeah, I'd be very fucking surprised if he started off a golf clothing company. So I'd say it's up for grabs there for the TaylorMades of the world.
Yeah, true. And it's like, I go on here and I see his TGR design, obviously his golf course design business. So yeah, you never know. But I would say he'll just piggyback on a different business, because like, running a clothing business is just different to running, like, say, golf course design. Like, that's in his sphere. And I was reading Forbes reported that, like, the reason for the split was apparently Nike did present a contract to Tiger to renew, but Tiger just felt that it wasn't enough. And therefore, that's what.
And that kind of, that's interesting itself, in that I'd say that could be the, like, basically someone switching off the machine and Nike, if he kind of rejects that contract, because it's like, right, who else do we have here? Like, Scottie Scheffler. No offense to Scottie, but like, he's a great golfer, but as far as marketability goes, he's a very ordinary bloke. If Tiger goes, Rory's gone with him 100%. Well, they, I know they have a long contract, but it's not a lifelong contract. And I'd say whenever it's up, and if Tiger has something well established by the time it is up, he'd also jump ship with Tiger, because they run a lot of companies together. Like, they seem tied at the hip commercially outside of golf. So, what is Rory? Rory's a 10? Do you remember?
I just googled it here.
I don't think it was a 20-year deal. I think it was a 10-year deal around the mid teens, 2010s.
2017, Rory signed a 10-year and $200 million contract extension with Nike. So Rory's tied in on
something. He signed with Tiger Woods, Adidas brand, at the Ryder Cup in Adair in 27.
I don't know. I think I thought it was just an interesting one, considering where Tiger's at in his career. You'd be thinking he would definitely be thinking about life afterwards. Jordan doesn't have to do anything really now. He just sits and collects his royalties for Jordan, and what a deal that is. Tiger could have probably.
What do you mean? He's still going to win 3 more majors.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Bloody right. I actually completely agree. He's fucking going to do it. But yeah, so I suppose that's where Tiger's going to be at. He's going to be at planning for his retirement and what is going to be his cash cow. So I suppose whatever deal comes in front of him now, we'll definitely have to have that in mind. Instead, like, David Beckham doesn't play football anymore, but he's still tied with Adidas. So
yeah, that's a really interesting point. Not even golf related, well, maybe it is golf related. In that, if you're a footballer like Beckham, and now he goes on to own Inter Miami, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, that's a shrewd business deal within his kind of domain. Whereas, what would Tiger be able to do in golf? Like, yeah, he can give lessons for whatever fucking price he wants, but there isn't a kind of club that he can go in and take over and help run.
This tomorrow sports thing, isn't there?
Yeah, it's exactly it. Like, in terms of where golf is going, whether it's with LIV, or as Rory suggested there during the week, like the Indian IPL cricket league, team golf is coming, whether we like it or not. I love it, to be honest. As in, when they actually get it right, it's going to be an incredible kind of addition to the calendar. But LIV Golf isn't the answer. I don't think. The Tomorrow Golf or the TGL isn't the answer either. That's just a cool Monday night slot that's going to slot in really nicely when the NFL primetime slot on Monday is gone, and it's just going to be a product, an entertainment product. It's not the kind of core piece of golf, but there is definitely. I think we've spoken about it before. When golf finally nails it in terms of a Srixon team, a Callaway team, which already technically exist in terms of the lads who show up for the promo campaigns for each brand. But when they do get that model right, and it's a couple of weeks a year where the kind of individual piece is less important, similar to the Ryder Cup where you're just here on Team Europe, when they do get it right, I think it's going to be very, very cool. But it's not going to be a kind of side token piece on a Monday evening. It's going to be central to golf. And I think Tiger he's the only name is it Jupiter Links on the TGL league? He's the only player confirmed for that. Whereas you have teams like Rory and Hatton on Boston Common full up now already. But yeah, just in terms of post career, I'd say he's thinking very hard about, how do I not just go into giving lessons, and how can I build a Jordan-esque kind of dynasty post-golf to stay involved in the sport that isn't just on a kind of advisory board in the PGA Tour kind of engagement. So, yeah, going to be a very, very interesting few years. But, yeah, definitely wherever he goes, he is the needle, so the golf world will follow.
Yeah, I was just reading there that over the course of Tiger's career, he's earned $2.1 billion in total. And only $120 million of it, I say only, has come from on-course earnings. So this stuff is just huge. Like, the The sponsorship deals, obviously, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking or new there. We know this is all a big deal, but yeah. But anyway, I suppose we'll move on from the Tiger stuff. He's going to play in Riviera in a few weeks. Well, sorry, we don't know that, but it's likely that he will play in Riviera in a few weeks.
He's playing. He's going to play once. He's going to play once a month, man. He's back.
Yeah, well, that's what he's telling us. So, yeah, next time we see him, we're going to see some sort of logo on him, and I'm sure we'll see on social media all that stuff happens beforehand. And yeah, we'll be watching closely. Right. So last week there was PGA Tour in Hawaii. So Chris Kirk won. He beat Tagala and he beat Speed and a few other big names. In fairness, like Xander Schauffele was in the mix. Scheffler, Jason Day, but Chris Kirk, his story is a pretty good one. So in 2019, he stepped away from the game because he was battling depression and alcohol problems. He won last year, first time in 8 years. And obviously this is his second win now in two seasons. So he's turned his, he's turned his life around. He's turned his game around. Like, it's a pretty cool story. The tournament itself, I found it hard to get particularly engaged in it. I mean, scoring was a little bit ridiculous. Personally, I'm not a fan of players just going nuts like that. Like, half the field finished 20 under par or better. I was texting one of the lads during the last round, and he was pointing out that Seamus Power was minus 12 and nearly last. But I suppose still reasonably exciting finish and for this guy Chris Kirk.
Yeah, like it's a bit of a pitch and putt. Like, what did Cam Smith, he was like 34 or 35 under a few years ago. Like, it's target golf. But it's cool. I don't like the way they've changed it. It used to be the tournament's champions. I don't know if they still, I think they still do call it that, but now if you get into the FedEx Cup, you also get in. So it used to be a very, very condensed field. And now there's obviously the Seamus Powers of the world leaking in there, even though they're not playing particularly well. Seamus Power to win last year, didn't he? Did he win the Barbasol or one of those kind of Mickey Mouse events?
Yeah, I think he won, and it was like the wraparound season. So it was actually in the calendar year 2022, but it came as last year.
Maybe. That's a bit unfair on Seamus Power, but like there's lads there who hadn't won last year, and yeah, I don't think they need to be bolstering it up anymore. You've all the winners from the previous year, just leave it at that as an exclusive kind of thing. Except, well, similar to the Hero, it's just getting rust off really. Except the Hero is just if you're mates with Tiger Woods. This should be just if you've won last year, you get an invite to come to Hawaii for 2 weeks and play back to back events on the PGA Tour. But no, Kirk, yeah, I'm actually, like, to be fair, I know it's a big story and the media will grab onto anything, but it seems like everything the poor lad does, he gets reminded about the issues he had. every interview is, since you were battling depression, he's like, lads, that was 4 years ago. Will you fucking leave me alone? Like, but he's a phenomenal player. He actually put up some gas social media posts there. It was only a few weeks ago that he hadn't hit a club right-handed in like a month. He was just playing left-handed and trying to break 80. So he was shooting like, I think, around the low 80s. I'd say he did break 80 left-handed I'd say a bit of crack to be on a golf course but not be thinking too much about golf. And it clearly worked in terms of freeing his head up because he played some savage golf and he capped it off unbelievably as well. But no, that gets him into the Masters now as well. So huge win for him. Like as far as stacked leaderboards go, it was always going to be stacked because it's the century. But I think Tigala was very impressive as well. He could have snuck into a playoff. I think you mentioned Morikawa last week. I said Scheffler, like all the big guns kind of showed up. One that didn't was Åberg. I was a bit disappointed. didn't have a great week. Obviously, you want to see Seamus Power doing well at those events. Camilo Villegas, I know he won last year, but he's been off the face of the earth for a long time, and he was in the hunt on day one, which was pretty cool. But no, it's just it's target golf. Start of the season, get the rust off, and now we move on to the Sony, which is the first open field event of 2024. So it's I like it. I wouldn't change it. Sorry, I'd bring it back to just winners from last year, but it's, I know it's a bit of a Mickey Mouse event, but it's still it's cool to see all the top dogs.
And plus, I think it's on a golf course that they go back to every year, you always remember that 18th hole where they can send the drive miles down there and get on and two, slinging it in from the right side. Like, they've played that year after year. So, yeah, I think I like seeing tournaments and courses that they go back to every year. But, like, yeah, for me, it's okay. It just, when it's birdie fest like that, I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me.
No, I'm the exact same. It's boring. Like, I know it's birdies everywhere, but it's I want to watch them fucking struggle. I want to see them in pain, and to make it more relatable.
Exactly. I love seeing them in pain.
Give me a US Open at Betpage, or an Open Championship at the Wind, or the rain going sideways any day.
Yeah. And this week, okay, so you mentioned we're in Hawaii for the Sony Open, which would be reasonable, but I will definitely be watching more European Tour this week. So in Dubai, and I love this, actually. I love when they go to Dubai. I think it's I always think back of it as being the real start of the season for me. Rory gonna be there. So it was this event last year where Rory and Patrick Reed got into a feud, and Patrick Reed threw a tee at Rory. Yeah,
it was this last year. How that is 12 months ago is fucking beyond me. That feels like about 5 years ago. But I don't think Reed will be there now. He's still licking his wounds from having to pay all the court fees after losing the Brandel Chamblee case. Sorry, not just him, but taking on the entire golfing media for defamation. So he won't be here, thank God. But no, it is. It's as you said, start of the year. Even some of the guys who got their PGA Tour cards for the first time are still coming here instead of going to the Sony, which shows how kind of strong it is. And it's just one of the kind of feature weeks on the DP World Tour. I think Rory, again, I don't know what odds he is. I think he's like 5-2, 3-1, like stupid odds. And if you're going on form, he's not coming off anything special, unless you want to say he plays well fresh. But not just the Emirates is iconic, and the 18th hole, same as Capuala. You can think of all the great shots to come in and actually close out a win there. And maybe Rory will go and do it. I'm not sure, but like in terms of the start of the season, this, we're really kicking on now. All the kind of honorary events, if you want to call them that, that kind of got us through the winter are up and done, and we're back to some Rolex golf on the DP World Tour.
Yeah. And this is, it's a pro-am this week, which I don't think it normally is. Maybe I'm wrong, but I don't think
it is either. I think it's the first year they've done it.
Yeah. But decent field. So you've got the likes of Tommy Fleetwood in there. You've got Nicolai Højgaard, Adrian Meronk. So strong field. Tell me this. So between Sony and between Dubai, who are you fancying?
I'm going to pull a proper Joe Nealon on it here. I don't know if you can guess who it is from that, and it's not Ewan Ferguson.
Well, I was going to go
at Sony. Yeah, no, I'll leave you. It's probably random enough. He's 33.
Bob Mack?
No. Denny McCarthy. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, he's No, just I just can't believe he's 33-1. Like top of the field is Aberg, who, like, as you said there, I think he finished like six or eight under last week. Like, obviously it's just kind of getting back into the swing of things. So I couldn't have him as favorite. Now favorite being like 14-1. So like it's that kind of open of a field. And again, it's going to be a low scoring event. So unless you're properly on song, you won't have a chance. But yeah, Denny McCarthy, just, I think it was last year. Where does he finish off? At the BMW, finished 10th, played in the RSM there a few weeks ago, finished 5th. So with him, though, it's literally how hot's his putter. And when it's on song, he's literally won the best in the world. So if he can get the putter going, I think 33-1 is absolute robbery. And then on the, well, the other one there is Hatton. Hatton is actually in.
Yeah, I like Hatton.
Instead of DP, which is interesting, I think. But he hasn't won since 2021 on the DP World Tour and 2020 on the PGA Tour, which is a bit mad considering how many times he's been in the top five, even top three. But no, going to go with Denny McCarthy and Sony, and might just throw a small one on Dublin up with Rory as well in Dubai, assuming he just takes it as a walk in the park.
So are you going to do that? Are you going to do a little?
No, my tip for this is Denny McCarthy each way, 100%. But I will do a little sneaky one with Rory and Denny McCarthy both to win.
Okay.
Which absolutely won't win, but I'm going to do it anyway.
That's maybe your cheeky little side bet. Okay, for me, I'm going to go with a slightly controversial character on DP World Tour, Torbjørn Olesen. He was banned for a little while because of his little mishap on a plane coming back from America to do some event in Europe. Apparently, he got a little bit drunk and abusive. And so he couldn't play on the DP World Tour for a while, but he has served his suspension. And back in the last season, he finished pretty strong, had three top tens in his last four events. Now, it's a tough one because a lot of these lads are coming out fresh in the new season. You don't know how they're going to do. But I like him. I'm seeing him at 18-1, Torbjørn Olesen. So that's going to be my little pick. Before we wrap up, though, you were saying Gary Woodland has come back from bit of brain surgery.
Yeah, crazy story. He's back in the field this week in Hawaii, and he had an operation to remove a brain lesion in September. So like the man's been through the wars. There's a good interview, I think it's maybe on the PGA Tour's official Twitter, where he talks through it. And like, even while he was playing last year, kind of late summer, he essentially thought something was wrong with him because he wasn't able to sleep. He was breaking out in sweats every night. He felt like he was falling pretty much on a nightly basis, and had no idea what was wrong. And he just thought it was anxiety or there was something wrong, but like there was nothing wrong in his personal life, so he couldn't really attribute it to anything. So he went and got... Sorry, he asked for medication, like as in help me sleep, to his doctor. And he basically said, I can't give you this without doing an MRI to make sure that everything's all right. And then they found a lesion on the area of the brain that is associated with fear and anxiety. So it was pushing up against that and obviously causing all this shit. So like, I think he said himself, it was a relief to kind of know that he wasn't going mad. And the doctors were basically saying, yeah, this is like a direct reason for why you're having all these feelings. But he still did play on. He was taking medication for it, trying to suppress it, trying to reduce the size. And it worked for a while. But like, I think his caddy started saying to him then on the course, he's like, you can't play golf like this. You have to get this sorted out. So went away, got the surgery. They didn't remove all of it, but it is, it's benign. So they're happy enough that it's not cancerous and it's not growing, but they did as much as they could do without. I think if they actually tried to remove the whole thing, the potential side effects were losing the entire left side, I think, of his body and his eyesight. So, yeah, it was a massive, massive risk to kind of go in and take everything away. And I'd say there was still a big risk there involved. Well, obviously fucking brain surgery, but a big risk to kind of operate on it all. But it seems to have gone very well. Absolute trooper of a man, just really one of the good guys in the PGA Tour. And yeah, hopefully, I think he's made a full recovery now, but it's just whether or not he can come back to being the major champion that he is. And he's only young, so you'd like to think he will, but it's just great to see him back playing golf.
Jesus, yeah. Serious stuff, in fairness. Mm. And seems like a reasonably quick recovery, positive stuff. So, hopefully he's all right for himself now over the next little while. Right, we'll leave it there, I reckon. Cheers, Cooper, and thank you, everyone, for listening. And we'll catch you next week.